Christmas service this morning, and it is always a delight to go anywhere in order that we might preach and teach the Word of the living God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament. There's one verse of Scripture we want to read this morning, which is important that we would do so, found in the book of Isaiah, and it's the chapter 7 and the verse 14. Keep in mind that the prophet Isaiah penned these words many, many, many years before they were fulfilled. In fact, it is now, it would be up in 800 years before the fulfillment of this prophecy. But it's wonderful how the word of the Lord relates the event even of Christmas concerning the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus that was to take place in 800 years later. See what verse 14 says, book of Isaiah chapter 7. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold," just simply means to sit up and take note, "a virgin." "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah pens about a virgin, this girl, 800 years prior. Now, she's never been born, obviously. When he's putting pen to paper, led of the Spirit of God, this isn't his own mind, his own thoughts. This is the word of the Lord through him. And yet he speaks about a virgin, that individual of God's choice, who's going to conceive. That's miraculous. That's a miracle. That's something you and I will never be able to comprehend fully. But that's the fact of the matter. This virgin, whom Isaiah's penning about, is going to conceive. And this girl is going to bring forth a son. And he talks about, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, of course, means God with us. Old C.H. Spurgeon once said these words, "He who made man became man and dwelt amongst us," and how true that is. And this is exactly what it's speaking about in the book of Isaiah. It's a prophecy concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus, who is God's Son. And that's marvelous to consider. Now, with that in mind, written all those years beforehand, you and I have to go into Matthew chapter 1, or Luke chapter 1, to see the fulfillment of that prophecy that took place all those years before. And I always love the Christmas story, because it's not only just about this babe that's going to be born in Bethlehem's means, but you and I have to consider the reasoning behind him coming into the world. There's a wonderful verse of Scripture in the New Testament, and it says this: Christ Jesus, that's the person, he came into the world, that's the place, to save sinners. That's the purpose. And we can be so caught up at times with the story about the babe that we miss out the real purpose for the babe coming. But Isaiah spoke about it. He prophesied concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus. Now, who is the virgin? Who is this lady of God's choice that God has chosen in order that she might bear forth his son into the world? Well, let's read chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke. And I find this fascinating, and what I want to do today, we just want to take time to read down this passage, and we're going to see how time commits. We're going to let the Word of God speak for itself. Okay? And it's a fascinating account here that's given in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke's Gospel chapter 1 it says in verse 5, for I feel that it's important that we read a good part of this chapter to just see what's unfolding before us here even today. It says in verse 5 of the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, in the earlier verses of this chapter, we are right away introduced to Zacharias and Elizabeth. These people now, at this point of time, were well on in years. In fact, they were quite elderly. Humanly speaking, they were past that time whereby Zacharias and Elizabeth could have children. And even up until this point of time, in their old age, they were unable to have a child of their own. Now, can I say this morning that though they had carried this burden for years, there wasn't a day went by when that couple met alone with God and prayed and simply asked the Lord for his blessing of a child into their family. And now they're old and well on in years now, and humanly speaking, I say, past that time of childbearing, it's maybe the case that Zacharias and Elizabeth had stopped praying. I don't know. Maybe they had thought to themselves, well, maybe it's not just God's will that we should have this child that we have so longed for all these years. But now look at us, we're old. We're past that time of childbearing. Zacharias, is there really any point for us to pray any longer? I don't know. I'm only looking at it through human eyes. But what does the Bible say about these couple? And I think it's lovely. Both Elizabeth and Zacharias, these couple who had a burden to have a child of their own, the Bible says that they were both righteous. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments of all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. What a testimony. These elderly couple. I want to tell you something. For years they'd walked with the Lord, and they talked with the Lord, and they lived their lives. The Bible says that they were both righteous, watch it, before God. That's the important issue, that we live our lives before the Lord. For when we recognize that we're living a life before the Lord, then we'll seek to please him. I'm not seeking to live my life to please you, for it wouldn't matter what I did, it would never please everybody. But live your life to please the Lord. The old hymn writer says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And we find Elizabeth and Zacharias here. They were two exemplary Christians, two lovely people, two individuals that loved the Lord. Verse 7 shows us the problem and the burden that they carried. You can look at it even way back there in the days of Hannah. She too had that same burden. And it says, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in age. And it came to pass that while Zacharias executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, His lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And that was the time at this present moment, that time when he would go in before the altar of the Lord on behalf of the people. But he done this time and time again. It wasn't something new to him. It was an exercise that he performed, and he performed it well. But little did he know on this occasion that this was going to be different than any other. Because as he went into the altar of incense at this time, the Bible tells me in verse 11 that something happened in that place. It says that there appeared unto Zacharias an angel of the Lord. You can see him going in and carrying out his office at the altar. But as he goes in this day, an angel of the Lord is standing there on the right hand side, on the right side of the altar of incense, and we can see how it startled Zacharias in verse 12, for it says, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And you can just get the feeling of the man. You can just get the circumstances of the moment as he goes into the altar of incense. And there standing at the right hand side of the altar is an angel. And that angel is the angel Gabriel. And he's here with a message for him. He's here with a message from the Lord. A message of encouragement. A message of blessing. A message of answer to prayer. It's absolutely amazing. Listen, verse 13 says, but the angel said unto Zacharias, see, he recognized he was fearful. He recognized he was scared. He could see it in his face. And the first words he says to him, Zacharias, fear not. And the fear not's of scripture is a lovely study. Just those two words. Pick them up and get a concordance. Follow them through the scriptures and read about the circumstances behind every word they're mentioned, and it will bless and thrill your soul. And maybe there's people this morning in this meeting and out there in this old world because of the circumstances that's unfolding around us, and there's great fear and anxiety and worry in the hearts of many, many people. Yet in the midst of his fear, in the midst of his anxiety, in the midst of what was unfolding in Zacharias' life, the Lord says, listen, fear not. Fear not. Dear friends, it's a wee word of comfort, isn't it? And if you take nothing else away from this meeting today, take these two words from the Lord. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear nots of God are lovely. What else does it say? Fear not, Zacharias. Watch it. For thy prayer is heard. That encourages me to keep at it, no matter how long it might take. Don't leave off the horns of the altar. Keep praying on. What prayer was heard? What prayer was the angel speaking about? Because obviously, I personally believe that Zacharias and Elizabeth had prayed for a lot more things than the son. But that was the heavy burden they carried. And you and I have got to ask the question, what prayer was heard? Which one? Well, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. That prayer, the prayer that they'd prayed for years, the burden that they'd carried for years, and they'd come now to a point of time in life where they thought there was no chance of this ever happening. For Verse 14 says, "Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." You notice the angel said at the end of verse 13 what you were to call this boy. You were to call his name John. This boy John that's going to be born through Elizabeth, listen, what kind of a boy is he going to be? Isn't it fascinating? Verse 15, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." He's not born yet. But the Lord knows exactly who he is, and what he is, and what he is to do. Isn't it amazing? I want to tell you something. My eyes are not on the world and upon the virus and upon COVID or upon anything else. My eyes are upon the Lord. And you've got to keep your eye on the Lord at all times in the midst of everything that's unfolding around us. There's a wee subject I speak on at times and I think is fascinating. The invisible hand of God. The things that we don't really understand. The things that are happening around us. I often think of it in the life of Joseph. I often think about it in the life of Moses' parents. I often think about it in the life in the days of Esther and Mordecai. I often think about it in the birth of the Lord Jesus. The unseen hand of the Lord. You see this wee boy that's going to be born. The Lord said he'll be great, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, hallelujah. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. When? From his mother's womb. Mind speaking, on this one occasion, a person come to me at the end of the meeting and says, "Is this possible?" I says, "Dear, listen. The Bible says he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. I'm not arguing with God. If that's what God says, that's the way it'll be. Whether you like it or whether you don't." And we can see this wee boy, he's going to be different, this wee boy called John. And we can see that he's going to have an effect among the children of Israel. This young man that's going to be born of Elizabeth and is going to grow up. And I want to say this, this young boy John, I want to say this, he's going to live to about 33 years of age, that's all. That's as far as he's going to go. Now I'm coming 62. He never got the half of it hardly. But in those early days, in those early years where he's going to be walking this scene of time, he's going to have an effect upon the children of Israel according to verse 16. For it says, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." He's going to be effective in his ministry. And in that which God has blessed him with. "And he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elias," or Elijah, or Elias, or not Elijah, but what do you call the old fellow? Elias, we'll just bring it down here. "To turn the hearts of the fathers or to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And this was a mighty thing. Now, I just want to leave that there for a wee minute. It's absolutely amazing. Who is John? What really is his ministry to do? Well, I want to tell you something. He was sent as a forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He was sent to prepare the way for the Lord. And you and I, listen, you and I read about John the Baptist a little later on as he enters into that ministry and he grows up through under the mother and father, and as they lead him and guide him and instruct him in the things of God. And as this young man grows up, he becomes a great man of God, a man of faith, a man who's bold, a man who's fearless, as he stands before individuals for God. But there came a day as he was on his public ministry, John the Baptist, we know him as. Everybody else at the time of his birth thought that he should have been called after his father, Zacharias. But the angel of the Lord had spoke to Zacharias by the altar of incense, and he says, Zacharias, you'll call him John. Zacharias questioned the Lord on this occasion. He found it hard and difficult to take this in. And you mind what the Lord done with Zacharias? He struck him dumb that Zacharias couldn't speak. As he left the altar of incense and as he went out to the people, they could see that there's something happened to him in there. They could see a change in him. Zacharias remained dumb until the day that the child was born, and until the day that he came to name that child. And everybody thought on that occasion, certainly he'll name him Zacharias, but that was not the case. Zacharias said, we're going to call his name John. And immediately when he fulfilled the word of God and the command of God, I want to tell you something, his tongue was loosed. He was able to speak. And the hand of the Lord was upon him. Now this was a wonderful event that took place in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. But as you and I read down the first chapter, we're only finding out that she's conceived. And she's now about 5 to 6 months from pregnancy. And she's carrying John the Baptist in her womb as an old lady whom God has blessed. Now, Elizabeth had a cousin. And Elizabeth's cousin was this girl called Mary. Now, Mary was just a young lass. She wasn't old. In fact, Mary was about maybe 14 to 15 years of age. That's all the age she was. And it was at this same time that the angel Gabriel also came, not only to Zacharias, but to Mary. This young girl, Mary, was going out with a man called Joseph. They were espoused or betrothed to be married. But this betrothal spent the period of a year. And then after that, well, the whole thing would be cemented. The reason why this period was taken was to make sure that their partner was not unfaithful and that they were really meant for each other. And it was like a testing time. Now, these two couple were together for some time. They loved each other. They thought their intentions were to marry one another and to spend the rest of their lives together. But we and I discover, take a look there at verse 26 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. There we discover that Gabriel comes again at this particular time. And it says, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Lazarus, named Nazareth. Now watch. He came to an individual here, to a virgin. Is here. Who's the virgin? The virgin's the one who Isaiah prophesied about. He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. So here she is, 800 years later. The fulfillment of the word of God here before our very eyes. And here at Nazareth, we discover that Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. You'll discover the lineage. You'll discover the line where the Lord Jesus Christ was to come. Do you mind blind Bartimaeus as he lay along the side of the road just prior to our Lord Jesus going to the cross? Do you mind as he lay along the side of the road and he heard the multitude go by? Do you mind that occasion? And when he asked the multitude what's going on, they turned round and they told him, what did they tell him? They told him these words, that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. They just recognized him as Jesus of Nazareth. But do you see that blind beggar? He recognized him more than Jesus of Nazareth. For what did he cry out? He cried out saying, Jesus, thou son of David. He's speaking about the line from where Christ was to be born. I want to tell you something. It's a wonderful story. It brings in the whole of the Bible and gives us a bigger picture of who the person is to be born, how the person is to be born, and to whom the lineage the person is coming from. And it's absolutely amazing here, and we'll discover here that this virgin is espoused, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So here we have this young lass, this young lady, this godly young lady, this Bible who informs us that she's known as the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's exactly what she was. She was blessed among women, chosen of God. Now what else does it say here? It's absolutely fascinating. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You'll notice it doesn't say, Blessed art thou above women. Among women. She is the instrument of God's choice. She knows nothing of what's about to take place. She's just up today doing her normal duties. And little does she know today that she's going to have a heavenly visitor in the form of an angel by the name of Gabriel, who has been sent from God with a message for this young lass. A message that will change her life forever and put her name down in the halls of history. It came to pass that the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Isn't that lovely? Are you aware of the Lord been with you? The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. She was troubled at his saying and cast her mind on what manner of salutation this should be. Now verse 30, and the angel said unto Mary, Fear not, Mary. Here we have it again. She had fear, worry, anxiety in her life. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now here's the message. Now you can think about this. An angel from heaven standing in the presence of Mary in the room, and he's going to give her this message. Now watch it. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There it is again, the lineage. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What a message for this young lass to have to take in. That she is going to conceive in her womb, and she's going to bring forth a son, and that wee one, the angel instructs her, she's to call his name Jesus. Savior. And as Mary stood and she listened to the information that the angel had got to give to her, we can see her reaction in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? It's impossible. Why? Seeing I know not a man. There was no sexual relationship whatsoever with Joseph or with any other man. A very logical question. How can this be? Seeing I know not a man. She knew that the only way conception could be made is by that relationship between husband and wife. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto Mary, Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see that wee one that you're going to conceive with? It's no ordinary babe. That wee one you're going to be conceived with is going to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It brings home that verse of Scripture in John 3 and 16 a wee bit more deeper, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, the fact that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into the world shows to us and teaches us a great truth. That there's neither salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The old hymn writer penned these words, that there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. Christ only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. I want to tell you something. It's only a sinless sacrifice could make an atonement for you and me as sinners. And Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, I want to tell you what he was. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He knew no sin. He could do no sin. And yet he became sin for us. This is the wee one that we're speaking about here, that the angel is referring to in Luke's Gospel chapter 1, to this young girl called Mary. You see that wee one that will be born of you, girl? He's going to be Jesus, the Son of God. Marvelous, isn't it? Son of God. He that made man became man in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Ha! Christmas story is a wonderful story. I wish I had another hour this morning because I'm nowhere near where I want to be. Listen. Take a look at verse 34 again. He gives her an explanation of how this will be, how this will take place. She is asked the question, how can this be, seeing I know no man? What the angel now is describing to Mary is this, man has no part to play in it. Salvation is of the Lord. And he gives an explanation of how she will become pregnant, how she will conceive in her womb. It is a divine act of the Holy Ghost. Now don't you ask me to explain it. I just believe it. But what the angel tells Mary is this. He says to her in verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then he says these words. He says, behold thy cousin Elizabeth. Now I was just thinking about this morning. Sitting last night just in the chair in the corner. Thinking about this. Why does this come into it now? Why does the angel refer to what took place in the womb of Elizabeth and Zacharias' family? I think it's to encourage her to have faith, to trust in the word of the Lord, that word which the Lord is giving to her through the angel Gabriel. You say, what do you mean? Well, take a look at it there. Do you see verse 36? And behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. Now I put it to you this morning, does Mary, is she aware of how long and how broken that family had been, longing for a son of their own? And when she heard the news that Elizabeth was now carrying a wee one in her womb, that God had blessed him with a wee boy, how it thrilled her soul. But the Lord went on to say something else through the angel Gabriel. Take a look at this. She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is her sixth month, Mary. She's 6 months now into that pregnancy with her who was called barren. Elizabeth, Mary would have known this about Elizabeth. Maybe there are times that Mary herself prayed for Elizabeth. I don't know. But then this wee verse crops up in the middle of it all. For with God, nothing is impossible. There's not a lovely place to place it. And what the angel of the Lord was doing here, he was building in Mary's confidence and her faith in the Word of God. That which looked impossible in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth is possible. And that which I have told you concerning the birth of the Son of God, with God there's nothing impossible. And what he was doing, he was seeking to build up her confidence and her faith and her trust in the Lord. And that ministry was effective in her heart and in the life of Mary. You say, how do I know that? I know that by her submissiveness to the will and to the word of God. You say to me, where do you see it? I see it in the reaction of verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Isn't it amazing? Her submissiveness to the will and to the word of God. In other words, what she said to the Lord was simply this. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. A young girl of 14 to 15 years of age, willing to give the Lord her life. Are you and I? You and I this morning here in Grove Baptist Church, coming near the close of an old year, which has been a very difficult year as we enter into the new year, and knowing not what the future holds, so we're willing just to simply commit our lives into His hands. Lord, take my life, whatever it is, and let my life be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I think it's absolutely beautiful. And Mary became pregnant. No man had any part to play. It was a divine act of the Holy Ghost. Now I have 5 minutes. I've got to go somewhere else. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 1. This fascinates me, doesn't it? And I hope it fascinates you. I don't know about you. It just thrills my heart. I really be thrilled with this. Through all these individuals and the ministry angels and the prophecies being fulfilled and the individuals that God's using. And I want to tell you something. It's all of God, the whole shoot. Every art and part of it. It's the Lord. But then, did you ever remember 4 minutes to go? Listen, did you ever think of the partner? You and I never read about it this morning, for I hadn't the time to do so, but you will discover after Mary had that conversation with the angel, and after she submitted her life wholeheartedly to the Lord, and after she'd become aware that Elizabeth and Elizabeth was now 6 months into that pregnancy, which she never thought she would do. The Bible tells me there in Luke's Gospel chapter 1 that she made her way up to Elizabeth's house. She couldn't wait to get there. And she spent some 3 months up there with Elizabeth. And the Bible tells me that when Mary and when Elizabeth came together, and as they spoke together, I'm sure about all the events that had happened. You know what the Bible says happened in the womb of Elizabeth? It says that the baby leapt. They tell me that children don't understand even in the womb. And I know of so many people who have died, and how this COVID has been a disaster in our land, and there's so much sickness. But did you ever go home and sit down and work out how many wee children are aborted every day in life? You will wonder just how many they are. There's far, far more than there would be who's losing their lives with COVID. But what about the partner? Take a look there at Matthew chapter 1. And verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now she's heading back home again. She's heading back to the neighborhood. And here she is. She's now carrying this wee one. She's now 3 months pregnant, for she was up there for 3 months. Okay. She's heading back. Now Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he had come to a knowledge of this. Come to a knowledge of what? He had come to a knowledge where he found out that his wife-to-be was now expecting. Do you mind what I said at the beginning of the message? That year betrothed in order was set there as a marker to make sure that the partner wouldn't be unfaithful. Well, all of a sudden he discovers that Mary's expecting a child. And I want to tell you something. Joseph's at the end of his tether. I believe he's a broken man. I believe he has wept tears. I believe he has sat down at night and he has wept like a child on the edge of his bed as he has thought of the expectation of what it was, what he was looking forward to. But now the bubble seems to have burst. As he discovers for the first time that that girl who she's supposed to be his wife is now pregnant with child. And yet we can see the response of Joseph in verse 19 where it says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." I want to tell you something. There was a softness about this man. There was a concern of how he would deal with the situation that was unfolding around him. I want to tell you what he could have done. He could have had her stoned to death. He could have publicly shamed her before the world. He could have trailed her name through the dirt. But you can see the godliness of the man. You can see the compassion that the man had to show. And the Bible tells me that Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately and deal with the situation just between him and her. In other words, what he was going to do, he was going to break it off. Reluctantly. For Joseph loved this girl with all his heart. And I want to go a wee step further. Mary loved Joseph with all her heart. And they were both looking forward to spending the rest of their lives together. But I want to tell you, in Joseph's eyes, there was dirt in the ointment. Joseph thought about how he would deal with her and how he would not make a public example of her and how he would just deal with it personally and individually and privately. And the Bible says in verse 20, and while Joseph thought on these things, he gave heavy consideration to them, how he was going to go about dealing with it. I want to tell you, he just didn't fly off the handle. He just didn't lose the head. Though his heart was broke, though his life seemed to be turned upside down in a moment, he thought about these things. And while he thought on these things, verse 20 says, "Listen, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." What was the Lord saying to him? He says, "Mary," or "Joseph, do you see that girl Mary who's to be your wife? I know you think she has been unfaithful, but I want to tell you she hasn't been. She hasn't been running about with other men. She hasn't been sleeping about with other men. The reason why she's carrying that wee one within her womb is an act of the Holy Ghost." Now that's hard to understand. And that's hard to take in. And I can see Joseph standing there before the angel, dumbstruck. Now watch, and with this I'm finished. He went on to tell him, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." See, that's the purpose for Christ coming into the world. Are you saved this morning? You ever asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior? That's why he came. Now he says in verse 22, "Joseph, see all these things is happening around us, happening to you and to Mary. Listen, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying." Do you know what he does? The angel now refers Joseph. He says, "Joseph the prophet." Do you mean the prophet? Do you mean what he said? Who's the prophet? Well, we're going back where we started, aren't we? 800 years before. What did the prophet say? Verse 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, And that virgin shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And what he was simply doing with Joseph is this. He was again building his faith on the word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And not only do we see that Mary was submissive to the will and word of God, but can I say in closing, here we see Joseph's submissiveness to the will and the word of God. You say, how? Verse 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. And what did he do? He took unto him his wife. He didn't question the matter anymore. He just accepted it by faith, and his belief was in the word of the Lord. And knew her not. There was no sexual relationship whatsoever throughout that pregnancy, because she was carrying none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Nay, and knew her not, when, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. It's a lovely story, isn't it? It's a lovely truth to learn. It's a lovely message to take in. What does the word Jesus mean? Well, it means Savior. But I want to say this and I'm finished. The J speaks about him as being the just one. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He spoke no sin. He was absolutely just. J. The E teaches us that he was the eternal one. He who was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. If you can find anywhere when Christ was on earth when he was rich, you show me. But he left the splendor of glory. He was sent of the Father on an errand. Yes, to be the Savior of the world. And we could go on, but my time's gone this morning. And I pray today that as you've sat and listened, and as I've read and preached, that the Word of God may be a blessing to your heart. And it's not the Christmas that we see out there is really the true meaning, you know. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. Let us pray. Our loving Father, we bow humbly at thy feet as the risen, exalted Lord of glory, the one who left the splendor of heaven and came down into this sin-cursed scene of time and dwelt amongst us and walked amongst us and went the whole way to the cross. And there you could say it is finished. The work which the Father gave to thee was complete at the place called Calvary. We thank thee that the third day you rose again, and there's an empty tomb, and there's an empty cross. We thank you, Lord, that you went back to the glory. There's an occupied throne. We thank you that we'll speak to one today who's ever living, in order to intercede on our behalf. And Lord, we look forward to that day when you'll fulfill other prophecies, when you'll come again and receive us unto yourself, which for us would be far better. Father, I pray that you'll bless your word to our hearts. Let us leave the meeting today knowing that we've met with thee and been more aware of the true meaning of Christmas, that Christ Jesus is that true meaning, and that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Bless each and every family represented in this building today. Keep your hand upon them in these uncertain days. And just bless them, each and every one, and their families over the Christmas period. Separate us now with your blessing. May your hand rest and abide upon us all until we meet again. For Lord, we ask it in the lovely name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, Amen. God bless you. I want to thank you so much for your listening here this morning. I appreciate your attention. And may the Lord have blessed his word to your heart today. Thank you very much.